Racing 92, Toulouse and Saracens take their 100% records into round 5 of the Heineken Champions Cup, with the two French sides set to face their closest pool rivals. Toulouse go to Dublin for a mouth-watering clash with the holders Leinster. We speak to the former Leinster, Ireland and Lions hooker Shane Byrne. Meanwhile, Racing take on Ulster in Belfast, and the ex-Ulster and Ireland lock Dan Chewy will give us the view from France. The quarter-final picture will become much clearer after this weekend's 10 crucial matches. We preview them all in another bumper edition of the Champions Rugby Show. I'm James Burridge. Welcome to the Champions Rugby Show. Rory Lawson, formerly scrum half, of course, of Edinburgh, Gloucester, Newcastle and Scotland. And where do I start? Mr. Lover himself, Tom May, is back. Well, many don't know that you got engaged on Christmas Day, you old romantic.
I think I've just been being a bit tight and means I only have to get one present from now on, is it?
Not too far to take a knee, though, at least.
Be short for you, mate.
Question is, could he get back up again?
No, I had to get pulled back out. I was well stuck in the mud.
So and romantic, well done.
Did your other half, was she expecting it? Was she surprised?
Well, she had to be prompted to say yes, not by me either. So that was a bit awkward.
Excellent.
She did in the end.
Well, you've got a very busy 2019 ahead then, haven't you?
It's the most wonderful time of the year, Tom.
Not at all cheesy. Great to have the boys back in the studio. As usual, we've been gathering your thoughts from social media. Twitter at Champions Cup. Search for European Rugby Champions Cup on Facebook and at European Rugby Champions Cup on Instagram. Our question this time is, what should your team's New Year's resolution be in the Heineken Champions Cup and why, fellas?
I'm going to go for one of my old teams, Gloucester. They're arguably in the tightest pool in the Champions Cup. They're currently bottom of it, but coming into this weekend, playing against Munster at King's Home, Friday Night Lights, going to be really special. I'm sure we'll go on to talk about it. But for me, their New Year's resolution has to be about consistency. They go from the sublime to the ridiculous. They are getting a little bit more consistent, but they've gone through a couple of tough results in the Premiership. This is a great opportunity for them. And it's, for me, it's about them grabbing it and driving on.
Tom, what about you?
For me, it's one of my old teams as well. It's Toulon. I've banged on about them a couple of times, I think, during this season already. But they need to just start showing some more ambition than they have done so far. It can be fairly tedious at times watching them. They're 11th in the top 14. Been struggling. Got thumped by Toulouse, 39-0. So let's just see a little bit more ambition this year.
Of course, we'll read some of your responses during the show, but let's kick off, shall we? Let's start with a full preview of the Heineken Champions Cup Round 5.
This is the Champions Rugby Show.
Well, as we preview Round 5, we'll briefly mention the Round 4 results. We'll start with Pool 1, Toulouse, making it 4 Heineken Champions Cup wins from 4, defeating Wasps 42-27 last time out. And holders Leinster notching up 6 tries in a 42-15 bonus point victory over Bath. The Pool 1 standings then look like this. Toulouse top with 17, 4 victories. Leinster in second with 15 points. Bath with 5. Wasps with 3 points, they're out of it. We've been asking you on social media, what should your team's New Year's resolution be in the Heineken Champions Cup and why? Kevin Callahan, a Leinster fan on Facebook, says, beat Toulouse and get a home semi-final. If only it was that simple. Fellas, Leinster Toulouse, what a game this is going to be. From the way Leinster have been talking, Stuart Lancaster's been talking in the press already this week, they are worried about this match, and yet they're at home.
Yeah, and well, might they be. I think from my perspective, coming into this, Toulouse, we've spoken about, you know, as being a champion side in the Champions Cup. They've won the old Heineken Cup more than any other team, I think. And for me, it's a surprise. They've sprung a surprise. They've not been in the mix for a while. They've come into this tournament and they've overachieved ultimately. And yes, they've had a bit of luck and the rub of the green along the way. But at the same time, they're now in a fantastic position and it's going to be a titanic battle in Dublin. I think Leinster, for me, are favourites. I think Stuart Lancaster and the likes are showing Toulouse a lot of respect, as they should. But this Leinster side at home are a champion side. They are out to get this title. And I have to say that to be talking about Toulouse going to Dublin shows just how good a side they are.
Are they favourites if Sexton isn't fit?
Yeah, I think they still are, because I think the battle will be won up front, and I think they've got a number of world-class operators in that pack. Yes, Sexton, behind that pack, runs the show. He's a little bit like the Danny Cipriani of Gloucester, and in that when he's there, he is the conductor of everything. He knows where everybody should be. He runs the strategies, essentially having another coach on the field. But at the same time, it's not a big drop down to Ross Byrne, who himself is now an internationalist and can drive things forward for Leinster. So it's going to be a cracking encounter.
Tom, Toulouse, they're probably the best counter-attacking team in the tournament. I think they score over half their tries from counter-attack balls. So Leinster have got to be really careful, haven't they?
They have to be very careful. And I get, if Toulouse get through this is the 17th time that they've reached the knockout stages of this competition. You know, they're well versed at this stage. They understand how to get through. And I think we've seen a team now that's gone... They've had, two or three seasons where they've been pretty horrendous at times. But their offloading game is starting to click. They've got some fantastic players. And when they signed Gatun in the back line, I was a bit sort of raised my eyebrows. But he's actually been amazing for them so far, certainly this season. And is one of the top scorers. I think Medard's back to some of his best rugby. Kaino and Tamak, when he plays, is sensational as well. So they've got real flair now. They've got back to the old Toulouse. And I guess they'll fancy their chances. They've got two wins on the road already in this competition, and going to Leinster, yes, it's a massive challenge, but I imagine it's one that they're relishing.
From my perspective, with the players now and the setup now in French rugby, trying to encourage academies to bring the French players through and actually give them opportunities. When you look at the Toulouse side with opportunities for the likes of Dupont, as Tom said, for Antimac, you know, a couple of these guys that have only recently played under-20s World Championships, they're now coming into this environment and flourishing with the senior guys like Hougier and Tokori and Jerome Kaino around them. And I think that's something that the rest of the rugby world have to probably be a little bit concerned about, because that will soon translate to the international side.
Well, I think they've got the ability to, you know, I mentioned it there, to win on the road in Europe, but they're doing it in the league as well. They've got some big wins both at home and away.
Old mob.
Yeah, and well, that might not be as hard as as it sounds at the moment.
It's still a 39-0 stuff.
Yeah, and you know, they topped the top 14 just, you know, for a matter of hours this weekend, but you know, they were ahead of Clermont at one stage, and we know how well they're doing. So I think this is going to be an amazing game.
In terms of the one-to-one battles, our favourite player, of course, Mr. Colbe on the wing against Byrne, potentially if he's the right wing for Leinster this weekend. He's got to be careful. He's going to have to watch his step. Well, watch Colbe's step.
Yeah, if you can. You know, I think he's shown that not only has he got the ability to beat someone in a really small amount of space, but he's actually quite physical for a small fella as well. You know, he knocked over a couple of would-be defenders in that last game against Wasps, didn't he, and ran the length. And he really adds something to, you know, if they can get on the front foot, get in behind with the likes of Tokori, who's the offload king, then, you know, for Colby to then pop up, Leinster are going to have to be really, really cute to try and defend.
Colby will have to take a fair bit of artillery as well, I would think, from the air. I think being a relatively small man, Leinster, Ireland, big part of their strategy is their kicking game. Kicking to get ball back, build territory, squeeze the opposition, and then when they get that possession, they just look after it so well. So I expect Colby to be taking quite a number of high balls, or certainly being under a number of high balls, whether it is Adam Byrne chasing them down. He's good under the high ball. It'll be a really interesting encounter.
And do either of you think that Leinster have been ever so slightly off the pace in the pool stages? I mean, they lost the Toulouse game to an interception try, but can you measure their performance to 12 months ago?
It's always relative, isn't it? When you're talking about Leinster, former European champion, potentially, you know, ultimately compared to where they have been in the past, yes, there may be a few percent off, but for them, it's about the next 2 weeks and putting themselves in the box seat to be able to go on and finish top of the group and be in a strong position seeding wise for those quarterfinals. And we all know that Leinster really kick into action in the third quarter of the league, whether that's in the European Champions Cup or domestically around the Six Nations. They manage things well, but as soon as they come out of the back of that Six Nations, they've got that focus on the end of the season, and they are so difficult to break down.
Let's speak to a British and Irish line and former Ireland hooker who played for Leinster for a decade. Shane Byrne is back on the pod. Shane, great to have you with us.
How are you?
Great to speak. Give us a feeling, a sense of the atmosphere, the anticipation in Dublin right now.
Oh, it's absolutely nail-biting stuff. I think the main headline grabber for the last while has been the fact that Toulouse seem to have just forgotten about the last 10 years and the form that they've been in, and just are playing rugby as if they were the world beaters that they were so long ago when they were one of the major heavyweights in European rugby. And, you know, Leinster are very weary of them. One of the biggest things you can tell was the venue, because Leinster, whenever some of the big sides go, they move from the RDS to the Aviva. But this time they've chosen not to. They're keeping it back in their fortress in the RDS, where they have that immense record. And, you know, that's where they're taking them on. But it's going to be an absolute ding-dong battle. Everybody is in good form and fettled by all accounts with Leinster. They did amazing rotation, as they always do. They had a fantastic win in the Interpros against Ulster at the weekend. But realistically, there's going to be 13 changes from that starting team, which is something that Leinster regularly does, such as the amazing depth in their squad.
And Shane, given that Toulouse are going to be such a threat, what areas actually of Leinster's game do they need to dust off? OK, they beat Ulster at the weekend, but they slipped up against Munster over the Christmas period. What areas of the game that Leinster are showing at the moment do they really need to work on to keep Toulouse out?
Well, do you know what? It's something that has slightly cropped up in the two major games that you go, right, this is somebody got at them. Bath, particularly in the first half, in the earlier rounds in the European Cup, and Munster a couple of weeks ago, in the sense that they just absolutely tore into Leinster and gave them no room to move or breathe and just stayed at them and very tenacious at ruck time and a bit physical and a bit on the edge. And it just seemed that Leinster, the last two times, they haven't dealt with that very well. They haven't been able to cope with it, because other than those two games, their discipline record is absolutely exemplary. Like, you know, four penalties in the game is a regular thing to see from Leinster, which is an unbelievable stat. But in those two games, they couldn't handle that kind of pressure. So I would expect to see a very, very hard, very direct, aggressive game from Toulouse at the start of the game, just to see, is that soft underbelly for show again from a Leinster point of view.
Rory Lawson here. I hope you're well.
Hey, Rory.
For Leinster, they've won the Heineken Champions Cup on a number of occasions. Do you feel they have a better opportunity at this stage to go on and win it once again than they have in previous occasions? Looking at the squad and the depth that you've spoken about, they're rightly one of the out-and-out favourites for this competition. And do you see them in a better position than they have been in years gone by?
Well, you see, normally you would go, look, it's a very hard thing to do back-to-backs. It's just difficult to do. You have a big target on your back. Everybody would play their best against you. But the one thing you've already inferred it there, the one thing that you just can't compute at all with Leinster is, because they have this enormous squad, the competition that drives that squad is absolutely to an insane level. In some positions, you're talking maybe three, maybe even four players deep. And the way Leo Cullen keeps rotating that squad is each one of those players gets a lot of exposure, gets a lot of game time, and they're able to, if called upon at any stage, to play at the level that Leo absolutely requires to be on that team. So that generates this absolutely insane competition for places, and that drives the standard when they're going on a cup run, when they are playing against sides that nobody wants to let the team down. So, look, back to your question, I just think Leinster have as good a chance as they've ever had. And if that competition is there, this week will tell a tale. I think right the way across the European Cup, I think the fact is this round five, I don't think it has ever had so many deciding group games all in it. A huge tale will be told once this weekend is over.
And Shane, what about Saracens, one of your other former clubs? Because if Leinster aren't going to win it, Saracens could.
There's no doubt about that. Saracens have definitely been there or thereabouts in recent years. And, you know, they have an all right game this weekend. There shouldn't be any particular issues. I know they're away, but, you know, they have to just grab control of that group. Listen, they've shown themselves that they've had a couple of losses, notably last weekend against Sale. They're by no means, it seems, to be the complete side. It seems that they can be got at and figured out. Yes, they've had a couple of injuries. They have a couple of players they'd love to have there. But on their day, we all know Saracens are an absolutely dynamite team that play a complete brand of rugby, immensely physical, and also play a beautiful brand of attacking rugby when it suits them. And in Europe, that's exactly what you want. So I would expect them to be there or thereabouts, but you'd be a bad betting man if you didn't have money on one of the two of them.
Wouldn't you just? Shane, great to speak to you as ever. Shane Byrne on the pod. Once again, the former British and Irish Lion, former Ireland hooker who played for Leinster for a decade. And we've been getting your reaction on Facebook as well. Colin Campbell says, Racing are the biggest threats to Leinster, retaining the title. Saris aren't the force they were. They've struggled the past few weeks in the Premiership and haven't been putting the dominant performances as past few years. We need to start fast against Toulouse. We let them get away with a 14-point head start in France and should have won that game except for a stray pass. Let's move on to Bath against Wasps, the other game this weekend. Rory, Bath, anyone who saw that last, 10 minutes against Worcester? How? I couldn't quite believe what I was watching, the way Worcester managed to just win that match. I mean, Bath at one point looked in cruise control. How energy sapping is that going to be for Bath this weekend?
It's almost one that you've got to address as an anomaly. And watching on as a rugby fan, I was just interested to see if it went to 100 minutes, whether the TV was ready for 100 minutes.
I was wondering if one person was going to be left on the pitch at one point.
No, well, very true. But no, I think Todd Blackadder touched on it in his interview at the end that it was very difficult to deal with. He was keen to look back at the penalties, but it was one whereby it was a snowball that turned into an avalanche, wasn't it, really? And when you look at the timeline across the Twitter platforms off the back of it, as you're putting all the pieces together, it was just astonishing. Starting, obviously, with a red card, and then from there, Worcester spent so much time camped in Bath's half that the momentum just kept going their way and yellow cards kept coming. And that'll have hit them hard, because in the Premiership, They're there thereabouts. They're in with a fighting chance of the top four. So it's how they react off the back of it. For this, I'll be interested to see the selection of both coaches,
both teams
going into this, because Di Young's had challenges with injuries, Todd Blackadder similarly, and then coming into this, do they really back themselves to have any chance of getting out of the group? In Bath's case, no, Wasps are out of it. So selection is going to be very important. It's one I'm interested to see who Tom goes for to win this.
Tom, what does Di Young do?
I think he just chucks everything he can at it just to try and keep the momentum from that game that we saw at the weekend against Northampton. You know, that they're fairly inconsistent, both of these teams. That said, I think Bath, you know, they beat Wasp pretty convincingly a few weeks back over Christmas. I'm just intrigued to see the battle between Francois Lowe and Thomas Young. I think that'll be an incredible battle at the breakdown. And as Rory mentioned, the discipline's going to be key for Bath. So, you know, it's an interesting game for Wasp, but I don't think, certainly from Premiership sides, yes, they rotate a couple out when things aren't necessarily on the plate, but in terms of pride, teams tend to always go for it.
Right, prediction time. The game Saturday, the 12th of January, Leinster against Toulouse, 1 o'clock GMT at the RDS Arena. Virgin Media, Channel 4, BT Sport 2, beIN Sports and FRDA, the place to watch this one. Rory, your prediction?
Home win for Leinster.
Tom?
I'm going to go for a home win for Leinster as well, just because I can't see Toulouse doubling up.
And Rory, Bath Wasps, that's a 3:15 kickoff GMT at the Rec on BT Sport 2.
Really difficult to call this one.
I'll go for Bath then.
You go for Bath, will you?
I'm getting before he's
had your bets.
I think, as Tom said, with Wasps in particular, they've got a couple of guys, you know, the likes of Dan Robson and Joe Launchbury coming back to fitness. I think it's important for them to get some game time, so they're likely to come in fully loaded. Bath themselves are starting to find a little bit of rhythm, so I'm going to back a home win as well.
I tried to nick.
He tried. He did his best.
Element of competition already on the predictions. Last time, Florent Rossignol got 8 out of 10. You were really disappointing. You got 6 out of 10.
How did he get 8? Well, some of his choices were like mind-boggling.
But they were correct. Rory, you're the only person so far this season to lose to Tom, I'm afraid.
It's amazing how far the offer of dinner at my favourite London restaurant for throwing the event goes. I'm looking forward to that Tom.
You might get a wedding invite, though.
Oh, you never know. Never say never.
You can get involved with the Champions Predictor game at HeinekenChampionsCup.com for a chance to win 2 tickets to the 2019 Heineken Champions Cup final at St James's Park in Newcastle. right to pool three, where Saracens still have a 100% record after winning 26-14 at Cardiff in round four. And Glasgow's quarterfinal hopes are still alive following their 21-10 win over Lyon. Let's look at pool three. Saracens top with four wins, 18 points. Glasgow on 14 points. Cardiff and Lyon out of it on 4 points and zero, respectively. An away trip then, Tom, for Saris to Lyon. Everyone expects them to get 5 points here. What kind of shape are Lyon going to be in for this? Because the table doesn't lie. They've barely really registered.
No, they haven't registered. Certainly not they haven't registered at all in Europe. So you would have to back Saracens here. But Lyon actually have been, they've been doing pretty well in their own domestic league. Look, Saracens aren't as faultless as they have been over the past couple of seasons. And there are teams that are finding ways to unpick them. Clearly, the most recent one of those was Sale last Friday night. I just don't think, as competitive as Pierre Mignoni is, and you know, he won't take a backward step, even if he thinks, you know, this we're on 0 points, let's just rotate the whole team out. In terms of him as an individual, having played with him and been coached by him, his levels of individual pride and competitiveness will make him go for this, and they are a dangerous side.
Rory, it was interesting what Shane Byrne was saying about how you should try and beat Leinster by kind of bullying them, taking them on. And that's actually what Steve Diamond said in his post-match comments after their win against Saracens. You've actually got to bully these players and you've got to bully this team. They might be the best in the country, but you've got to go right at them. And I suppose that some teams probably are too scared before they take to the pitch, are they?
Probably not too scared, but they give
the reputation
they give a top side too much respect.
Yeah.
And ultimately, particularly at home, you've got to get in amongst them and take them outside their comfort zone, take them to places that they don't like being, and that a number of teams struggle to do so. I think, you know, with this, there are 18 points separate Saracens and Lyon across the four rounds so far, and both Cardiff Blues and Glasgow have gone over to Lyon and won out there. I think for me, you've got to take yourself into the French mentality. They love to be playing for something. Yes, home, you know, a home pride is at stake, but at the same time, they're out the group. They've got no chance of proceeding. They may as well go through the next 2 weeks and get themselves right for the top 14. And for me, Saracens will go out there, and if they start the game well, they'll come away with 5 points. If Lyon turn it into a bit of an arm wrestle and take it to the last 20 minutes to decide it, Saracens, for me, will still win. Whether they get the 5 points, I'm not sure. But let's be clear, I think Saracens will go out there with a mindset of getting momentum in the early exchanges, getting an early score, and Lyon will go away.
It's a similar picture, though, for Glasgow-Cardiff. Glasgow just 4 points behind Saris. Potentially two teams could be going through, so they need to get 5 points here.
Very much so. I think for Glasgow, this is a crucial game, because I think if they get 5 points from it, I think they go through into the quarterfinals. They've lost their last three consecutive games, which is a rarity for Glasgow. They lost away to Benetton at the weekend. Yes, there were, you know, much like the Leinster and so on, they made a raft of changes, and they've got a load of talented guys to come back in who are their international frontliners. But this is a crucial game for Glasgow. For me, they have to win it. They have to win well, and 5 points will put them in a strong position to be able to get a quarterfinal place.
I agree with you in the crucial nature of this game. Does that? I feel it being almost a crucial moment in the season for Glasgow. Does that pressure then almost go completely the other way? And, you know, when you're desperate to get 5 points, does that sort of add too much pressure to them?
I think the fact that Dave Rennie can make so many changes and bring in fresh legs, guys who have had a week off or a bit more time off last week, and haven't had last weekend's game in their legs. When you're bringing back your front liners, guys like Johnny Gray, like Stuart Hogg, into that team, it's all, you can very quickly flush away the weekend, and with a different tournament as well. As soon as you're into the Heineken Champions Cup, things go up a little notch. You know that it's D-Day. You've got back-to-back weeks now to give yourself a chance of being in the knockout stages, and I think that focuses the mind very, very quickly.
So let's cut to the chase and go to the predictions. Sunday, these matches take place, the 13th of January. Lyon Saracens first, 3:15 kickoff GMT, 4:15 local time kickoff at the Marmoust Stadium de Jolon on BN Sports and BT Sport 2. Tom, not a difficult one, I wouldn't have thought.
No, I'll go for a 5-point away win.
Rory?
He's looking to pick up a
bonus
point himself.
He wants to get a bonus point himself, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Don't work like that, mate.
No. I agree with Tom.
So you want your bonus point as well then. Yeah. What about Glasgow, Cardiff? Same time kickoff. This is at Scotstoun on Sunday. BT Sport 3.
I think it's Glasgow will win that game, and I think they will come out and win with 5. I think
I'll go for exactly the same. I don't think Cardiff will have enough to beat Glasgow that are desperate for a win.
Now, don't forget, you can get involved with the Heineken Champions Cup on social media. Twitter, @ChampionsCup. Search for European Rugby Champions Cup on Facebook and @EuropeanRugbyChampionsCup on Instagram.
For the latest news and the best content, go to HeinekenChampionsCup.com.
This is the Champions Rugby Show with James Burridge, Tom May and Rory Lawson. Next, we'll discuss Pool 4 of the Heineken Champions Cup, another section with a top-of-the-table clash this weekend. Round 4, Racing won again, 34-11 at Leicester. Ulster, meanwhile, kept the pressure on with a bonus point victory, 30 points to 15 over Scarlets. So the table looks like this, with Racing top with 19 points, Ulster on 14, Leicester on 6, Scarlets on 2, the bottom 2 out of it. So Ulster, Racing, wow, we talked about Leinster to lose. Rory, this is another one of these matches.
It definitely is. And, you know, much like we just spoke about for Glasgow, this is a crucial game for Ulster at home to Racing, who everybody's talking about in the same sentence as Saracens and Leinster as being title contenders. So it's a big challenge at the Kingspan Stadium for Ulster. It's a very tough one to call. Form players in both sides. And I think it's a two-horse race. So I'll wait to see how things develop on the predictions. But one thing I can predict is that it'll be a really fascinating encounter.
I think we learn a lot about Racing in this game. You know, away at Ulster, it's a difficult place to go and play. And as much as people say that Racing are contenders this year, that they're not right up the top of the top 14. They're not.
They're a long way down, aren't they?
They're sixth at the moment. And there's a lot of people in that sort of mid-table, which means one loss either way, and you're right back down the bottom.
Is that purely because they've decided to focus on Europe?
Well, no, they've been ripping people apart as well at times during the top 14, especially at home. But I think we learn a lot about them. They beat Toulon at the weekend again. I mentioned they're not as great as they have been, but
they got pumped by Bordeaux, though, didn't they?
Yeah, you know, and this is the frustrating nature of Racing. We saw it a bit. Probably, and we mentioned him a couple of times, but Dan Carter, when he was there, didn't necessarily have the influence on the team I don't think that Racing would have liked to have seen. But I think Finn Russell, for me, has completely revamped the way that Racing are playing. And when they're on fire, they look very sharp.
It was interesting to talk about that because I was at Welford Road for the Leicester game, and a lot of talk the way Russell was playing. He was playing the way we love to see Finn Russell play. And then I spoke to Chris Masseri afterwards. This is what he says about the difference between Russell and Dan Carter.
Dan was an awesome guy to have him, and, you know, bringing this young talent, Finn Russell, he can see what's in front of him, and he's bringing a lot of X factor to their team. And as a forwards or backs, we've got to follow him, and so far so good.
He's more consistent, Finn Russell, than Dan Carter. I can't believe I'm actually saying that, Rory, but he is.
Yeah, I think you know what you get from Finn, and I think the positives of Racing, when you look at their DNA and their power game, the pack that they have, the likes of Leone Nakarawa, who runs around holding a ball like it's a peanut, it's, you know, for me, that allows Finn to get front foot ball, and I don't think there's a better operator in world rugby with ball in hand in that number 10 jersey than Finn Russell. His distribution skills are outstanding. His kicking skills are outstanding. He seems to have the players around him who understand the way he plays. And let's not get away from that. That's not always the case. If you put a brilliant fly half who's got a load of guile and a load of flair into a side, it doesn't always fit. But it seems that Racing, that he's got the players around him who fit. I think the relationship that he's built as two of the overseas signings with Simon Zeebo has been absolutely outstanding. He's obviously built relationship with young scrum half Iri Baren. I think Finn will be delighted that any of the highlights we see over here in the UK are the highlights, because he still is susceptible to an error or two. And let's not get away from the fact that the U Arena is very different to Ravenhill. And we spoke about Steve Diamond's comments about getting in amongst Saracens to be able to disrupt them. I'm sure at Ravenhill we'll see Rory Best lead from the front and the rest of his charges around, trying to unsettle a Racing 92 side, certainly in the open exchanges. And you never know what you're going to get weather-wise out there in Belfast either. So Racing have shown that they can go away from home. They turned over Leicester Tigers. They got the bonus point there. But I think Ulster are at home are a tougher challenge than Leicester Tigers were when Racing turned them over.
Because, Tom, Ulster have basically gambled everything on this. They have rested a lot of their first team for this game. Quite a lot of pressure on Ulster then to kind of back that up, isn't it? Because it looks, we always talk about not looking too far ahead, but they have been. I mean, they've been looking at waiting for this game for weeks.
If there are any sides that have the ability, though, to rest players and then come back in for the Champions Cup, it seems to be the Irish ones. You know, we've seen Munster do it, we've seen Leinster do it a lot. You know, and the likes of Cooney and Stockdale scored in every round so far. They'll be relying on him at Ravenhill, no doubt. I think they need their top players to be firing on all cylinders and have the most outstanding game ever to be in with a shout of toppling Racing.
Rory, when you consider the conditions as well, when you talk about Finn at 10, they've got Cooney, who can obviously play the conditions brilliantly, but with Stockdale, they've got to get him on the ball from minute one, surely.
Yeah, he's one of the best finishers in Europe. When he gets time on the ball, he's a big physical presence, he's good in the air, he's strong, powerful, good defender. They definitely do have to get him on the ball early. I think for me, the back three of Ulster have been working very well this season. And I think Stockdale, on Tom's point with regards to the rotation, Ulster definitely don't have the same depth as Munster and Leinster do. But at the same time, when they are fully loaded, big European night at Ravenhill, the crowd will get behind them. They need to do enough to get the crowd behind them early doors. I remember going over there with Gloucester and we got out the blocks quickly and we scored four tries in the first half and you take the crowd out of the game. That's what Racing will look to do. But I think at the same time, if Ulster get a hold of the game early doors, they know how to play the conditions, they know how to work the crowd, but they have to get in amongst Racing and really unsettle them.
Well, let's speak to an Ireland lock who had 7 years with Ulster, now plies his trade in France for Van. Dan Chewy's on the pod. Hi there, Dan.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Well, give us a flavour of the anticipation in Belfast. We've heard about what it's like in Dublin, but my goodness, for Ulster, this is huge.
Yeah, absolutely. This is really all or nothing. They've really put themselves in a good position in the group. But like Rory was just saying there, they've got a really tough task ahead of them at the weekend.
And when you consider, we've talked about how they've got to bring the likes of Stockdale into the game. Big pressure on the likes of Will Addison, for instance, a guy who's arrived at Ulster and made a name for himself. But it's a night like this, isn't it? Or a game like this where it kind of goes up a bit, doesn't it? The pressure intensifies.
Yeah, there is a lot of pressure on the team. They're not where they want to be in the Pro 14 for sure. So Europe's sort of a huge thing for them this season. And he's adapted to pressure well. He got called up into the starting lineup late on as a replacement for Ireland. So he can adapt to that. But, you know, in big European games and big European nights, you need big players. And Stockdale is certainly one of the most form wingers in the world. And Will Addison has brought another edge to that back line. So he'll certainly be looking to implement himself. But also needs every one of those players, all 23, to put in a performance against Racing because, you know, the sheer physicality and size of that Racing team is going to be tough, especially such a young Ulster team. But Ulster will be fresh enough. They've had a lot of frontline players rested over the last couple of weeks. So they'll be going into the game in pretty good shape.
Dan, what's French opinion on Racing at the moment? They're mid-table in the top 14. They're not exactly flying. Should we be seeing them as potential winners of this competition?
I mean, have to consider them as potential winners because they made the final last season. I mean, that top 14 in France, you just never know. I mean, look at Cass, for example, last season. You know, they were sort of outsiders, won a couple of playoff games and ended up winning the whole competition from almost nowhere. Certainly, Racing have got the tools to do it. Can they do it away from home, away from the arena, where it's such a unique place for them to play? Who knows? I mean, it's just a typical French team, really, loaded with superstars, but Ulster get stuck into them in the first 20 minutes, it could go south. And over the last couple of years, Ulster have got decent scouts at the King's Band over La Rochelle and Clermont, if my memory serves me right. So I think Rory Best will be reminding the players of that this French Racing outfit have probably got a soft enough underbelly that if the first 20 minutes don't go their way, it should be Ulster's night.
It's good to hear your voice, big man. My question to you is a little bit away from this weekend's encounter and more focused on, as a person who's played Pro 14, Premiership and Top 14, what are the sort of key learnings that you've found being in France about the way that they operate compared to the two other environments here in the UK?
Good to chat to you, Rory. I was a bit of a journeyman last season. I actually got to experience a lot of rugby in many different places. I think the top 14 is almost a bizarre competition, because the Premiership, I can 100% guarantee the Premiership is much, much more physical than top 14, because it's a lot quicker than top 14 in my experience. Top 14 was always scrum, collapse scrum, walk to a line out, and then from nowhere, a sudden burst of magic would happen. The tempo of the game would pick up, and then it would just die back down again, where the Premiership was always constant. The Pro 14 lacks domestic quality within the league, because such a heavy rotated teams within Ireland, Wales and Scotland. So it kind of does lack that bite that the Premiership and Top 14 has. But when the Pro 14 teams do come into Europe, they seem to have the edge over the Premiership and Top 14 teams over the last couple of years, just because the players are fresher. They're more primed. I'm speaking from the Irish perspective. They're just ready to go for Europe. And this sort of European rugby now, and then it would just tee up Rory Best, Johnny Sexton, Jacob Stockdale, all for the Six Nations. It's just a different kettle of fish, really, to domestic to European rugby for the Irish teams.
So, Dan, finally, can Ulster do it against Racing?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's where sort of dreams come true, really, if you like it at the Kings fan. They always think to yourself they're not going to do it, but they definitely can. 100% they can. I've been part of teams that we thought were going to be down and buried over the years, and we've managed to win. Having said that, I just don't think this Ulster team, with the few injuries they've got with Ian Henderson, I just don't think they've got enough strength to get over the line. But absolutely they can. But if I was a betting man, I probably wouldn't put my money on them.
Dan, great stuff. Thanks for coming back on the pod again, and enjoy the weekend.
All the best, fellas. Take it easy.
Cheers, Dan. Dan Chewy there. Cheers. Former Ireland lock, had 7 years with Ulster, now applying his trade in France. Let's quickly move on to Scarlets against Leicester. Just a few words on this, Tom. Pride, really, these two are playing for.
Yeah, Leicester, you know, they had a good win at the weekend, and their top players were back in form. Johnny May got a couple of tries, and George Ford was back to his best. But it's just a little bit too late for both of these teams, isn't it? That would have, certainly the Scarlets would have fancied this competition as really having a crack at it.
Rory, who's been more disappointing, Leicester or Scarlets?
Well, you'd have to say Scarlets based on the table. And I think my fear for Scarlets is that that will continue this weekend. They had a rotten festive period there, and albeit they managed to eke out a win against the Dragons at the weekend. But for me, I think Jordan Murphy will look to try and generate a little bit of momentum coming into this weekend. Although he'll rest players, but at the same time, I think the depth of Leicester Tigers squad is better than the depth of Scarlets, and I think they'll go down there and turn the Scarlets over.
Right, let's look ahead to these games then. Ulster against Racing is on Saturday, the 12th of January. 3:15 kickoff GMT at the King's Band. BT Sport 3 and BN Sports is where you can watch it. Tom, who's winning this one?
I am going to go with an away win.
I'm going to join Tom on that. I've already alluded to the fact I'm going for two away wins in this round.
And as for Scarlets, Leicester, that's a 5:30 kickoff GMT. Parky Scarlets on BT Sport 2. Thomas?
I'm going to go for another away win. I just think Leicester will try and keep the momentum. Jordan Murphy can't take his foot off the gas the way that they've been performing lately. So to build on last weekend's win will be really important for them.
Roy?
Agree.
Oh, there's nothing we need to the look on Tom May's face. Right, to pool two, where Castres Olympique blew the pool wide open in round four with a 13-12 victory over Munster in France. Meanwhile, Exeter Chiefs secured their first win of this season's campaign. Can't believe I'm saying that, beating Gloucester 29-17. So the table, Munster top with 12, Castres on 9, Exeter on 8, Gloucester on 8. And here are the thoughts of the Gloucester boss, Johan Ackerman, ahead of this crucial game coming up against Munster.
Could have been in a better position if we could have backed up the Exeter win, but we didn't, and now everybody's quite close. But it's going to put obviously a massive emphasis on this week coming, because I think at the end of the day, the winners of this round will put themselves up there. We'll have to take stock of our squad, see who's fit and who's not fit, and then put out a 23 and just believe that we can, you know, play a quality Munster side and compete against them. Put these two results behind us. It is at home. If we can come out with the same effort but be better in our decision making, better in our execution, hopefully we can surprise and give ourselves a chance. But we have to fix those errors that bite us in the last 2 weeks.
Johan Ackerman speaking after back-to-back defeats in the Gallagher Premiership against Sale and Leicester. Rory, you're an ex-Gloucester man. What's happened in the last fortnight?
It's easy to just say Danny Cipriani's been injured, but the way that Gloucester operate and the way that Danny Cipriani operates, it's probably not a million miles away from the truth, actually. I think you know, I've heard a number of the players talking about the influence he has on the team, and it's always a challenge that a coach will have when you have someone of his quality on his day who dictates things as significantly as he does. If that sort of a player goes down, then your next in line has to be close to that. And I think that's one of the challenges at the moment. Gloucester struggled to get the same flow in their attacking game as they do when Cipriani plays at 10. And the thing they've been great at this season is being inconsistent. And they highlighted that by going down to Sandy Park in round three, turning over Exeter there, and then going back to Kingsholm and losing to Exeter. So I think Cipriani's a big factor. I think whoever Johan Ackermann picks at fly half is going to be a key selection and has to drive things. They've got a pack now who are very competitive, and they'll have to be very, very good to take on this Munster pack and dominate the Munster pack and give the platform needed to be able to really flourish. But I always remember the Friday night lights at Kingsholm. It's a special, special time. It will hopefully be a packed out crowd. I think the significance of this game cannot be underestimated, and Gloucester have to get out the blocks and win this game to stay in contention.
There have been some famous Munster-Gloucester games, Tom. This has the potential of being another one. And Munster are building momentum, aren't they? They have a sense of cohesion about them, a sense of confidence too.
Yeah, they have got confidence. You know, they're playing well, and the good players are playing well. Carberry was good at the weekend, and I think he's sort of building into that shirt more and more. I think Andrew Conway had a great game at the weekend as well. Just to maybe give Gloucester a glimmer of hope, one of the things that they'll have to be really strong at is in the physical area, because there's no doubt that Munster are one of the most dominant teams physically in the competition, and that's probably not Danny Cipriani's strength. So maybe someone else that fits into that shirt, whoever Ackermann chooses in the 10 shirt, if they match up physically and make good decisions and have a good game, then maybe Gloucester are in with a shout. But losing two back-to-back, they need to go back to Kingsholm and win at home. You know, it's a place that, you know, it's, you know, having played there several times, it's not an easy place to go and play, and they need to be trying to really tune up that crowd, especially the shed, and get them on top of Munster. I think it's going to be tough because Munster, I think they've got the bit between their teeth in this competition.
It's quite interesting speaking to Ackermann. I was at Wilford Road for the Leicester game the other day, and they were in a comfortable position against Sale in the first half, and then just the inaccuracies just crept in. And then it's funny how rugby can really come back and hurt you, Rory, isn't it? Because if you get complacent for even 5 or 10 minutes in a match, you then go and lose that one. You then go and play someone like Leicester, who are a team on the rise. And they tried a lot better that day, but they still weren't clinical. And they were forcing too much ball because they're desperate to get back on the horse, aren't they? And look where it's found them.
Yes, it's also the way that Johan Ackermann likes his teams to play. You know, it's a lot of ball in hand. It's playing from deep. And when you don't get that right, you put yourself in problematic situations. And I think that showed at Welford Road. That'll be what Munster look to do. They'll look to go to Kingsholm, get field position and territory, squeeze Gloucester, force some errors, and essentially capitalise on those errors, whether it's 3, 5, 7 points. I think, you know, I spoke about the Danny Cipriani factor, and I think that is the biggest factor. But I also think Willie Hines is a key man also in that halfback partnership. I don't know how far off being back fit he is, but, you know, Willie Hines and Danny Cipriani as your halfbacks run things that little bit better. Hines understands when to put your foot on the ball and just say, look, enough messing around in our own half here. Let's get ourselves some territory. But across the board, there are some absolutely outstanding head-to-heads there. You know, up front, you look at Tag Byrne now in a Munster jersey, and you know, whether it's Slater or the two South Africans, obviously Mostert's has come in from Super Rugby, and the Springboks stander against Ben Morgan. You know, some really, really mouth-watering encounters in there. I think it'll be a brilliant, brilliant occasion.
Baz Dunn on Facebook says, Gloucester are there for the taking big time this Friday. They're so hilariously inconsistent. So, Tom, when you consider this from Munster's perspective, because the pool is so tight, wow, there is an element of table pressure on this, isn't there?
There is, but I think they've got the capacity to deal with it. I think they've got good players, good international standard players that will be running their team, and I think they'll be really relishing the trip to Gloucester if that's something you do as a team. You know, I think it's an opportunity for them to really get a hold of Pool 2 and make sure that they're in with a shout for the quarterfinals.
Exeter Cast, the other match. I can't quite believe Exeter are still in the competition, but that win at King's Home somehow means they're still surviving. I mean, we talked about disappointments earlier, Rory. Maybe Exeter are the biggest disappointment.
Yes, but they've, you know, as you touched on there, they've got that win at King's Home. They're in the mix. If you know, if they pick up 4 or 5 points and Munster knock over Gloucester at King's Home, then, well, Exeter have to travel to Munster, but they're still in the competition, which is remarkable given the first three rounds that they played.
Well, the last game that they played, Exeter, trying to describe that game against Bristol, and probably the best way is ugly.
Yeah.
I think this has potential to be very ugly as well.
But they won't be panicking this time. I mean, the last pod we talked about how they almost forced themselves to panic because they weren't patient enough. Now they can just release the shackles and give it a go, which they should have done in the first couple of games.
They're playing against Cast, who are a horrible team to play against when you're in that mentality. Because that, you know, the likes of Babio comes tearing into you. Erda Pajeta just running the game. And that's someone that Exeter really have to get into. Because when Cass don't have Erda Pajeta, or when he's off form, they are not anywhere near the same side. So they need to tear into him as a 10. I think this could be the decider between Rory and I think.
But also, I'm not sure many people thought Cass would beat Munster. We talked about unlikely wins. That was another one.
Yeah, I don't think I saw Cast really getting a win in this group.
I know.
I'm sure I just heard something in my ear somewhere.
Yeah. Producer Danny just said Florent did, and he predicted it. We all got it wrong. But do you think, I mean, don't want to offend Cast here, but do you think their heart is in it? Do they really want to be in the quarterfinals? Because it's so hard
Cast,
to tell. Yeah.
They have never got out of the group stages, and this is their opportunity. So, you know, from where they are in the top 14 and 8th, maybe this is their opportunity to get something.
That would be a terrific scout, wouldn't it, Exeter?
It would be massive.
Of the three sides below Munster, you've got to put Cast in the best position. I know they're 1 point ahead of Exeter and Gloucester on 8, but actually when you look at it, if Cast can go away and find a way of winning at Exeter, potentially Munster turn Gloucester over, then Cast welcome Gloucester, whereby they'd probably back themselves to get 5 points. So if they get 9 points out of the next two games, they get themselves to 18, they're nicking a quarter-final spot.
Let's go to the predictions then. Gloucester-Munster is Friday night, the 11th of January, 7:45, kick-off local time at King's Home on BT Sport 2 and BT Sport 4K UHD. Tom May.
Friday night lights at King's Home. Everyone expecting Gloucester to bounce back. I'm going to go with a Munster away win.
Rory?
Home win.
Oh!
I'm backing the old boys. I think they're going to...
Never live it down if you did it.
Absolutely, exactly.
What about Sunday then for Exeter Cast? That's a 1 o'clock kickoff local time on the 13th of January at Sandy Park on BT Sport 2 and BT Sport 4K UHD.
This is a really tricky one. Exeter at home, Castra away from home as a French side. I think during this conversation about this pool, I've managed to talk myself into thinking that Castra are going to go to Sandy Park and win.
Well, you're now painting them as well-beaters, aren't you?
Well, I'm not doing that, but I think the carrot is being dangled in front of their noses, or rather the rare steak is being dangled in front of their noses, and I've got a funny feeling they might go and... I'm going to predict they're going to go to Exeter and win.
They beat Grenoble on the road last weekend, and that's a tough place to go and play. So I'm therefore going to go for Exeter at home.
Of course you are.
They can never do it back-to-back. Never back-to-back away wins.
Now, on social media, we've been asking, what should your team's New Year's resolution be in the Heineken Champions Cup and why? And Munster fan Niall Cunningham has said on Facebook, end the drought. And I think a lot of Munster fans would agree with that. They are desperate to win another title. To pool 5, where Edinburgh beat Newcastle 21-8 at Kingston Park, taking control of the pool. Montpellier's 34-13 bonus point victory over Toulon puts them back in contention. So pool 5, Edinburgh top, played 4-1-3 with 15, Montpellier on 11, Newcastle on 8, Toulon on 6. So Tom, two of your old teams in this pool, obviously. Let's talk about Toulon against Edinburgh first. And Richard Cockrell's team are the ones playing with expectation. And I can't quite believe we're saying that.
No, and they tore Newcastle apart. You know, let's face it, I think it was a fairly convincing win that they got up at Kingston Park against Newcastle. And I think they'll fancy their chances of going down to Toulon. Knowing Richard Cockrell as an individual, he'll relish the opportunity to go into a real hotbed of French rugby and take it on. And I think it's something that, that Edinburgh are more than capable of doing at the moment. I think Toulon may throw the towel in this one and just concentrate on their home domestic form. That said, they've still got some good players that, if they fire, can pull something out the hat. I just think Toulon, and I've said it before on this podcast, I just think Toulon are too direct and too predictable in the way they attack.
So, Rory, what about your old team in Edinburgh? God, you must be proud at the moment, aren't you? I mean, I remember being at Murrayfield for that quarterfinal win over Toulouse. I was trying to think of bigger European moments, but this is huge, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it's massive. And I think, yeah, very, very proud of what I've seen at Edinburgh. And I think Richard Cockerill deserves an awful lot of praise for what he's done.
What has he done, as you see it?
I think he's gone in and he's... I can put my hands up and say I was sceptical when he was first named as Edinburgh head coach. I thought you don't need to tell Scottish players to train harder and put more effort in. But what I do think is that he's tied that willingness to work very hard and that brutal honesty that he brings to a scenario with linking it to success. He's made the players understand that if they do certain roles and the DNA of the side is exactly what he's brought. It's a physical side who work incredibly hard for each other, who understand where their strengths lie, who play to their strengths and who understand how to win games of rugby. And you see the results that he's managed to pick up. And you know, this is only his second season in charge, and he has Edinburgh in a position whereby they can make a Heineken Champions Cup quarter-final. And this is it's a huge game, but Edinburgh had a brilliant festive season. They beat Newcastle home and away in Europe. They beat Glasgow home and away in the 1872 Cup. And they nailed the Kings at the weekend just gone. So they're five on the bounce. They're playing with a load of confidence. Their defence is operating very well. And they keep themselves in the game. They've got a great pack of forwards, almost entirely international pack of forwards. And I think they'll go out to Toulon looking to frustrate them. And Richard Cockerill will know a lot of the players at Toulon very well from his time there. So
could be better brief, could he really?
Push the buttons and see what you get back from Toulon. It'll be interesting to see what side they select. There is obviously the pride of playing at the Mayol, but for me, Edinburgh are in control of this group.
So Tom, what about Newcastle Montpellier? With Dean Richards, has he blown it? From a couple of weeks back when they really had a golden opportunity. And I know he's been beset with horrendous injuries, but they had a huge chance.
No, I don't think he's blown it, but I think he'll be certainly disappointed from where they were to where they are now. They started brilliantly, didn't they? And they almost came in on the momentum taken in from last year's Premiership performances. I just think now they're adrift in the Premiership, their focus has to change slightly because there is a gap and they don't want that to increase anymore. There's so many, you mentioned the inaccuracies of Gloucester, there's so many mistakes being made by Newcastle at the moment. It's their own downfall, really. And yeah, they're going to a place in Montpellier where that could be punished. That said, Montpellier lost at home.
Well, I was going to say, last time we said they're a team full of individuals. So, I mean, what should we expect from Montpellier and Newcastle?
I think for me, just on Newcastle, they're almost the victims of their own success. I think it's a classic case of a side with a squad who aren't capable of fighting on two fronts. And I think when you look at the sides who manage to separate themselves from the pack, either domestically or in Europe or in both, they focus on one of them. And I don't feel like Dean Richards has blown things, but I think that the early wins and the momentum that Newcastle Falcons generated perhaps gave them a false sense of security and false hope. Were Newcastle going to go on and make a quarter-final, possibly? Were they going to go on and win the Heineken Champions Cup?
It's
no.
It's pretty cruel, that, though, isn't
it? It's incredibly cruel, but it's impacted them domestically. As Tom said, you know, they're now four points adrift in that 12th spot. So I think Dean Richards' focus will now go entirely on the Premiership. I think he'll send some youngsters out, dangle it as an opportunity. I think with Montpellier, there's a big former Scottish contingent there, whether Vern Cotter or Nathan Hines or Stevie Much in the medical or even down to the analysis. I think Montpellier have suffered significantly with injuries as well. They're starting to get some of those guys, Nandolo, back fit again, having been out for a long time. And I think Montpellier will be too strong at home for Newcastle Falcons and will get themselves back in the mix in this pool, which will make it a really interesting final round head-to-head between Edinburgh and Montpellier at Murrayfield.
Right, prediction time, gents. Saturday the 12th of January for Montpellier and Newcastle. 1 o'clock kickoff GMT, 2 o'clock kickoff local time at the GGL Stadium on BN Sports and BT Sport 3. Tom?
Unfortunately for Newcastle, I think it's going to be a bonus point win for Montpellier.
Rory?
I'm in agreement with Tom. I think Falcons will send out a lot of youngsters and the physicality and power of Montpellier will be too much.
Same day for Toulon against Edinburgh, 5.30 kickoff GMT, 6.30 kickoff local time at the Stade Félix Mayol. BN Sports and BT Sport 3, the place to watch. Rory?
I believe Edinburgh are going to go to the Mayol and win. I think they're going to stretch their lead at the top, secure a quarter-final position, and do so by just building a defensive wall that Toulon have to bash their way through, but I think they'll frustrate Toulon and just do enough to get over the line.
Rory talks about the defence, and I think the attack is what's lacking from Toulon, so I'll go with him and go with an away win as well, Edinburgh.
We've been asking on social media, what should your team's New Year's resolution be in the Heineken Champions Cup and why? David Taylor on Twitter said he'd love it if Edinburgh can beat Toulon next week and complete my first European away trip in style. And speaking of away trips, the Heineken Champions Cup final has proven to be a really hot ticket. High demand means there are no tickets currently on general public sale for the match at St James's Park on Saturday the 11th of May. Allocations are being held for supporters of the two clubs that will contest the final. A limited number of tickets may come back onto public sale in the future. Latest information will be available on HeinekenChampionsCup.com and the competition's social media channels. But if you want a piece of finals weekend, make sure you get your tickets for the European Rugby Challenge Cup final at St James's Park on Friday the 10th of May.
You're listening to the Champions Rugby Show, the official European rugby podcast.
This is the Champions Rugby Show with James Burridge, Tom May and Rory Lawson. Let's talk now about the European Rugby Challenge Cup. Plenty of top sides in this competition too. Rory, which team stood out for you in the last round?
Well, I think one of the standouts for me, and it's probably wasn't the prettiest of occasions, but it was Bristol Bears going away to La Rochelle, who are competing on two fronts now. That they're top of the pool in the European Rugby Challenge Cup, but then they're also right in amongst it in the top 14. And Bristol went over there, turned over La Rochelle at home, 13 points to 3. So that's a big, big result for them. It keeps them in the mix, gives them an opportunity of progressing in the tournament. And I think that's one of the, it's another momentum shifter for them. And domestically, it's given them a little bit of a buzz.
Now, you can see highlights from the majority of matches in the European Rugby Challenge Cup on challengecuprugby.com. Tom, which matches stand out for you from round five?
I'm looking forward to Claremont Northampton, not least because I'm working on it. I think it's probably the best game out of the round that I've managed to pick there. So I'm looking forward to that. Claremont flying in the top 14. Northampton, they had a bit of a buzz, didn't they? They struggled at the weekend, so they'll have to bounce back.
Now, for all the latest on this competition, follow at ER Challenge Cup on Twitter and go to the European Rugby Challenge Cup page on Facebook.
Go to HeinekenChampionsCup.com to play Champions Fantasy Rugby.
Right, to Champions Fantasy Rugby now. This is the bit that Tom May can't stand. Go to the website, HeinekenChampionsCup.com. You can play the classic version or the daily fantasy game and go to HeinekenChampionsCup.com. It's been a pretty good week, Tom. I'm looking at the table now, looking at my team, and I'm soaring. And where are you?
Just slightly below you. Like, I haven't used my ability to share my team on Facebook or Twitter, funnily enough.
No.
I haven't been that proud of what I've been doing this season.
With Cipriani out injured, I'm obviously going to have to change him. Yeah. So he's been my 10 for a while. Sinotti, I think, is also injured. And Donica Ryan hasn't really been pulling up too many trees.
No.
He's been getting a lot of zeros in recent weeks.
Yeah, don't go for the ones with zeros. I've got Chris Farrell. He got me a zero. That was quite nice. James Lowe, he always seems to be coming in with some points at the moment. He got 12
in
the last
round.
He's obviously not this. Yeah, I know, but I went heavy on my on my swaps last time. So right. I've only got a limited number.
Well, get used to playing behind me in the table, Thomas. Obviously.
Oh, come on, mate.
HeinekenChampionsCup.com is the website you need to go to. Definitely worth playing. It's good fun as well. Don't forget to watch round 5 of the Heineken Champions Cup this weekend, because all the matches are on BT Sport in the UK and Ireland. BN Sports is the home of the Champions Cup in France, with the majority of fixtures from each round. FR Dirt also have the Leinster-Toulouse match, as do Channel 4 in the UK and Virgin Media in Ireland, both on free-to-air TV. And in the US, you'll be able to watch all of the Heineken Champions Cup matches on the NBC Sports Gold platform. Before we go, fellas, which is the key match then, do you think, given where we are with 2 games left in the pool stages? Tommy May, come on.
I cannot wait for Leinster to lose. I think it's going to be unreal. I think we've got 2 teams that won't take a backward step, clearly, and I think Toulouse will fancy their chances at the RDS.
Rory?
I think we've got 3 quarter-finalists coming into this round. I think with Racing, Saracens and Leinster, I think we've got 3 teams that are through already. So I'm going to look elsewhere, and I'm going to look at Pool 2 and Pool 5. 2 of my old teams, I think Gloucester hosting Munster on Friday night will be a cracker. Gloucester have to find consistency and find control. And the other one's Edinburgh, travelling to Tommy's old boys, Toulon. Right now, they've got the wind beneath their sails, and I think they're in a position to take control of this group.
Thank you for your company, fellas. Great stuff, as always. That's all we've got time for on the Champions Rugby Show. Don't forget, Heineken Champions Cup Round 5 gets underway on Friday evening with Gloucester-Munster, followed by 9 more great matches across the whole weekend. Stay up to date with the competition on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram, and go to HeinekenChampionsCup.com for the Champions Fantasy Rugby and all the best European rugby content. We're back next week, but for now, from Tom May, Rory Lawson and myself, James Burridge, and all at the Champions Rugby Show, it's goodbye.